We get it. You want to raise your testosterone, but do any test boosters actually work? And you should know, Test X9 does. And we show you how at LegacySupps.com with the links to clinical studies on each of the 9 key ingredients. No bull, no bro science, just facts. Test X9 is NSF certified, third-party lab tested, and made in the good old US of A. Level up your strength, energy, libido, and drive now with Test X9 from Legacy Sports Nutrition. If you want to really level up, go for the ultimate test act, adding a T-assist, a pro-grade estrogen inhibitor and test enhancer, and the best-selling sleep aid, the Recovery PM, and see why improving your sleep is the key to unlocking your mental and physical potential. Guys, did you know the majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep? Well, that's why we put this stack together and why it really works. Stop settling for average. Go to LegacySupps.com and use the promo code DrTom, D-R-T-O-M, for 10% off your entire order if you subscribe and have it shipped every 30 days. You can still get the discount each and every single time. Brought to you by 3-time world heavyweight champion Nick Aldis and 10-time world champion Nicky James. And you guys, Nick developed and uses this product himself, so you know that they really work. LegacySupps.com. That's LegacySupps.com. Use the promo code Dr. Tom and level up with Legacy.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
Welcome to Taking to School with Dr. Tom Pritchard. I am your host, JP John Paz. Of course, joining me, the star of the show, the former WWE World Tag Team Champion, 8-time Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest trainers ever in the history of the business, the Doctor of Desire himself, Dr. Tom Pritchard. Dr. Tom, how are you doing today, sir?
It's Thanksgiving Eve. You're familiar with us, correct?
Yes, sir.
I was told tonight that Thanksgiving Eve is the biggest party day of the year.
Yes.
For his family or for everybody. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So my buddy told me too, but I never go out for it. I don't think I've been out on Thanksgiving Eve in 15 years. Yeah.
Well, I remember working on Thanksgiving and wrestling here in Smoky Mountain and hell everywhere I was at for up until whenever it was that the territories went away, but Thanksgiving was always a big,
Big wrestling time.
Big night, yeah.
Damn right. Phil, what's going on, Phil? Phil the Thrill.
Yeah, I had a doctor's appointment today, too. Happy Thanksgiving, Eric. So we're back live.
Yes. Jason, hello. Yes, we're back live. Uh-oh, we got Bo coming in for a run in here.
I guess
I will stop preparing the wild turkey for Thanksgiving for a little bit so I can see what Dr. John is talking about. Nice.
Well, let me just say this. I don't think he's talking about birds there at all. I think that man right there is probably going to be stowed up.
Yeah, he's talking about wild turkey bourbon, I think.
Well, that's all I'm saying. I put 2 lifesavers in my mouth right before we did this, and I'm sure I knew why at the time, but right now I can't think of any logical explanation. But
hey, Barbara, Dr. Tom, good to see you. Hope you're doing well.
You too, Barbara. As I said, it's the party day of the year. Why is it such a party day, Thanksgiving Eve?
Because so many people are together. Like, there's so many people traveling and home. So they're technically, I guess, home for Thanksgiving, but they're home the day before, so they go out and they go party.
What about those people who don't have people to be with?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, and you don't don't care, obviously.
No, I don't care. Yeah. Okay, find somebody to be with. Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, Jason.
Yeah. Well, good.
Barbara said it's amateur night. That's that is true.
That's usually, I thought that was New Year's Eve.
Could be both. They say this is a bigger party night for some reason.
Bigger than New Year's Eve.
That's what they say. Yeah.
Who
they
say this is
the biggest? The internet, I guess. Okay. Brendan, good evening, Doc. Hope all is well.
Everything is great, Brandon. Brendan.
So I wanted to first mention the great hospitality that I got down in Knoxville over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What you're very hospitable. The people in Knoxville are very hospitable. I'm a little surprised by the just the greatness that was Knoxville. I know I didn't go all over it, but I was surprised. It's a nice, beautiful town to kind of hang out in.
Well,
I know you never want to leave, but yeah.
No, I never want to leave. But like I told you, when you were here and you said you don't have many Burger Kings, you only saw one part of town that you came in. You came in through this way and then you saw what you saw. You have to go deeper into the heart of the city to find the special places like Burger King or whatever.
Or Buc-ee's. Anyway, yeah.
Or Buc-ee's. Yeah. We don't have our Buc-ee's yet, but Buc-ee's, the closest Buc-ee's is, I think, 63 miles away or 83 miles away. One of the two.
Passed one. Was it in North Carolina that I came through? I passed one Buc-ee's I saw.
Well,
I don't know what everybody's raving about. I guess it's like Wawa, but on steroids.
No, it's nothing like Wawa on steroids. You didn't even stop and look at it, did you?
No, I kept going.
Then you don't. Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't understand what the fuss is until you go in there and immerse yourself in the experience of a dadgum Buc-ee Beaver and the Buc-ee Bites and all the exclusive Buc-ee merchandise. It's worth the stop. And those who might be listening besides the four people who already checked in, It has been said they have the cleanest bathrooms in America.
Wow, yeah, that you've mentioned that. Is that a true story? Is that true?
Why would I lie? Why would I lie? Cleanest restrooms in America.
I wonder how they know that.
Well, I'm not sure how they. We talk about this mysterious they again, but I'll tell you, I am saying they have the cleanest bathrooms in America. Now, have I been in every stop in America? No. But Buc-ee's has said, who has the cleanest restrooms? I'm saying Buc-ee's. And Buc-ee's is making their...
Jonathan presence. Jacobs, what a good question.
I just answered that question. Who has the cleanest restrooms? It would be Buc-ee's. 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 And we're getting one here in Sevierville, supposedly early spring next year. Or late spring, whatever. Jonathan agrees. How about that?
I'm going to have to find out what all the hubbub is about.
Well, you would. That's what I'm saying, man. Never miss a chance. Is the
food good?
Yes, if you get the right stuff. Now, look, they have barbecue. They have chopped barbecue, sliced barbecue, smoked turkey. They've got some really good burritos. And it changes on a daily basis, too. Breakfast is good. I've had two egg and sausage burritos as well. So, I mean, yeah, I'll definitely recommend Buc-ee's. Just at least stop in and see what all the fuss is about.
Robert Sutton, Dr. Tom, great wrestle. Even seen him. Glad got to meet him.
Oh,
a little confusing there, but he was very happy to meet you.
Well, very cool. I was chewing on a lifesaver. Maybe that's what he was talking about.
Oh, yes.
Could be.
Let's start off with because we're doing a little Ask Dr. Tom Anything here. Let's ask a random question from Mark S. Is Randy Macho Man Savage in the top five?
I would say so. You would have, well, once again, we would have to go by eras because the people of when I would hear someone explain or ask who the greatest wrestler was ever. Well, I think for each era, there was different criteria and different styles. But I think in Macho Man's era, you have to rank him in the top five. If Hogan's in the top five, Macho's in the top five. Piper's in the top five. If Flair's in the top five. But then we have to separate the eras to go on. Were they... I think it's all subjective anyway, who you feel is...
You're right. Yeah. Have you ever heard of the Bret Hart scale where he rates guys up to 30, basically? Like, you get 10 for, like, charisma, star power kind of thing. You get 10 for your promo and 10 for your work rate. So if you get to 30, you're the perfect wrestler. And I forget what he said Hogan was. Hogan was, I think, 10, 10, and 5 or something. I forget what he said Hogan, but he basically gave Hogan a 20 something score. He gave himself, I think, like a 27. Like, he was going over the guys who's like the perfect wrestler. And I feel like Macho Man would be a guy that could possibly get a perfect score. Awesome worker. I'd give him a 10 on working promos. I'd give him a 10 easily. I mean, I'd give him 11 if that was possible. And then charisma, star power, look, I give him a 10. He might be a 30. He might be the perfect wrestler if you look at Macho Man.
I would agree with that, because the guys who are the best or the most authentic are the guys who are themselves and marketable and people really want to see. They're not playing a part. Randy, the great thing about him is he was never playing a part. He was always Randy Macho Man Savage. You didn't have to figure out who he was. He just – that was natural. That was him. And you either loved him or – depending on who is wrestling, you could be a babyface or a heel.
Did you ever work Macho? I know obviously you guys were in the same territory in WWF at the same time, but
I was in a 6-man tag match in St. Louis, Missouri for Larry Matizek after Sam Muchnick retired, and then Harley and those guys, Larry split from them. And I went to St. Louis from Memphis. And it was Buddy Landell, Eddie Mansfield, and Randy Savage against myself, and I believe Tiger Conway Jr. and Chavo Guerrero Sr. And that was the only time. And Randy did the job. And wow. Randy was the, I guess, IWF, or what was his dad's promotion?
ICW
world champion at that time, and he brought the belt to St. Louis, and he did the job, I think, for Chavo or somebody. That's the only time I wrestled him. Yeah.
Wow. Damn. And he has like no problem doing jobs. I remember Smoky Mountain. He dropped to Bruiser Bedlam. WCW. They're like, oh, you know, what do you want to do with DDP? And he's like, oh, he's going over. It's like, whoa, like what? Wow. He has no problems jobbing to guys.
Well, I think at that time in his career, he probably didn't, because he understood it was his time to give back. And I think I knew Randy a little bit in WWE, and was always, he was always that way. And if you've ever met him, you understand. He could be really calm, but in that uncalm, unsettling way that you knew it wouldn't take much to kick the gasoline on the fire and it would be out of control. And they just don't make them like that anymore, unfortunately. So, yeah, he's definitely in the top five. But where's our Jimi Hendrix? Where's our Jim Morrison's? And for those that don't know, look them up. Because to me, those guys still had that iconic perception. And you saw them, and they looked like somebody. Even if you didn't know what it was, they looked like. They looked like something. They looked like somebody. Savage, man, wore his gimmick everywhere. The fringes and everything. Baseball, if he's doing something, he wore his gimmick everywhere when he was a Macho Man. And that takes a lot of energy and a lot of dedication. So, and plus he was great at everything he did. He looked the part, was the part. There was no mistaking. He was Macho Man Randy Savage.
From Jonathan again. In WWE, is Sasha Banks the fifth wheel at the pay-per-view this weekend? Is she the fifth member of the women's team on War Games? What do you think? It's in Boston, I believe. It's in our hometown.
Anything is possible, as we've seen before. I don't know, but I would think. But who knows?
Who really knows? If it's really not knows? Her, though, like let's say it's not her, don't you think whoever the girl that it is going to get booed, or they're going to be?
Yeah, I think you better have at least not you can't have equal. You have to have somebody even more. And who is that right now?
Oh, better than her, over her, nobody, unless right. It's Becky Lynch, I guess. But that's about it.
Yeah, but does this make more sense?
It would make no sense. No. Right. So, but we'll see what Triple H got to sleeve. Because I thought if it's not going to be her, they should announce her on Monday. Because then now everybody's going to be assuming it's her.
Yeah, I think it's good to have that anticipation and wonder and mystery to it. Like we're not sure, but we'll give you some hints. So you'll watch just to see, just in case. I think it's brilliant.
And what she's doing outside of WWE right now is great, because it's one of the things where she's basically like almost like teasing them, like, I don't really need you. I'm really like popular. She's at all these premieres. She owns a CBD company. She's doing modeling. I mean, she's doing all this stuff. It's like, does she really need them? So it's almost like they want to bring her back and give her more money, probably.
But I think that's no matter how you slice it, no matter. Kind of like the Poirier McGregor fight when. Mm-hmm. At the end of the first round, he snapped his ankle and he can't go anymore. And it's like, oh, my God. And then he's cutting a promo on the cage. I mean, that was authentic. That was real. You couldn't script anything like that, but it played out like a script. So when you can script it, play it out like you think it would be played out and it'll work. It's authentic. So that's awesome. She's doing all this stuff. It's obvious she doesn't need to work with them. They need to work with her. quote a phrase that's been quoted before, and that's cool. Why not go after the most attention seeking superstars on the planet? That's perfect sense.
And I think that she was showing off her Star Wars toy, because obviously she has her own toy, and that's the thing that's like, oh wow, you know, it's like Slaughter when he left and he had his G.I. Joe stuff, like, I don't really need you guys, you know, I could do stuff on my own.
Yeah, so good for her, great for her. So it's an entertainment company. You want entertainers and you want athletes and you want people who know how to communicate. So why not?
Here's a great question from Big Timers Club. And you better know the answer to this one, Dr. Tom. How big is Batista as well? You know, and then winky face. Do you know that answer?
How big is Batista's wheel, you know?
Yeah,
I'm not sure what a wheel you know is.
You know what he's saying. He's his Johnson, if you will. He wants to know how big. That's the rumor about Batista. He's got a big one.
I've never actually seen Batista's Johnson. never been in the vicinity where Batista's been with his Johnson out where it was presented for any and all to see. I've never had that opportunity, and nor have I asked. The opportunity.
He's going to be in the new Knives Out movie. And if anybody hasn't seen it, he's great in Dune.
Wait. He plays one of the villains. What's he coming out in?
Knives Out. It's one of the Daniel Craig mystery, like almost like Clue type movie.
Oh, okay.
He's playing, I guess, one of the villains. I saw in the commercial he's got a gun and they're kind of teasing that he's like the killer. But
well, good. I mean, good for Batista. I'm glad he's
killing it out there.
Yeah, I'm glad he made the transition. Because I do remember when he first started, and I remember when he first came in to train, and I remember his demeanor. It was very, very shy, very, very timid, completely opposite from what he is today, which is awesome to see. Because he had the look, he had everything going for him except confidence, I think.
Oh, he's got it in spades now.
Yeah. It's awesome. Don't know how big is, well, you know, but yeah. I can tell you his confidence has gained a lot of ground.
Yeah. Stephen Fry says, do you give your kids at the training school, JPWA, of course, do you give them all nicknames?
No. Tell you why. Because I want to know your name. And the only nickname I will give you is like your ring name. We had a guy give me a ring name tonight. And it may sound stupid to some, but I don't make fun of stuff like that because I know how some people think long and hard about their names. And if they believe in it, all right, let's see what you can do with it. But I think giving nicknames kind of this is just my way of thinking. I want to know who you are. I want to know your name. Then I want to see what name you pick for yourself. And I may call you by that name. But other than that, I don't call anybody like, hey, shithead or turd face or, I don't know, big ass. No, I don't do that.
Well, I was down there with JPWA. I was watching you train some of the boys. You dropped a good knee drop. Almost looked very Tully Blanchard-esque when you did that. I was like, wow. And you were explaining how it's done and made great sound. It looked great. And I was thinking about it because one of the kids was doing it with the left leg. You did it with the right leg, and it looked so much better. And it was very...
Well, very again...
It was a very, very sweet move, yeah.
Well, that's what... again, it's an opinion on how to do one thing this way and try it this way. But if it doesn't work this way, well, then we'll try it that way. And if you like it this way, we'll go that way with it. It's not rocket science by any stretch of the imagination, but, that's what everybody, when they get into wrestling school, doesn't always get. They don't always learn the basics and fundamentals, and you'll learn other stuff along the way. But we're going to go over that stuff first, John. As you saw firsthand, you were ringside, actually.
Yes.
You got an up-close and personal look.
Yeah, and that ring, 20 by 20, that's big. When I did my wrestling training, going back years, it was always like a 16 by 16 ring. That ring is a WWE ring. That's a nice ring you guys got at JPWA. Yeah.
We wanted to do it like that just in case, because it's better to have more room than not enough. If you, you know, usually when we do our graduation, we'll do them at a promotion that has an 18 by 18. The next one we're doing, I think, SPCW in La Follette, Tennessee, on December 10th is an 18 by 18 or a 16 by 16 ring, I believe. It's smaller than ours. But we wanted to get a ring big enough to have room to do everything we need to do. And it works. We use the cable ropes, too, because regular ropes stretch out way too bad, in my opinion.
Randall Flowers. How did Dr. Tom get the Dr. Tom title? Spell title wrong, but...
it's okay. I get to drift just like a tidal wave. I was... Christened a doctor in the parking lot of a 7-Eleven after a failed attempt by a good personal friend of someone wasn't able to fulfill their commitments due to the scorching hot heat they had outside the ring. So I became a doctor. I learned everything I know about being a doctor in Jimmy Golden's van in Birmingham, Alabama.
Any legal prescriptions you give out are all illegal?
Well, hang on just a minute. Are you inferring that illegal activity might have taken place?
When Jimmy Golden, are you kidding me? Yeah.
I'm not so sure how I should take that, sir. Jimmy Golden, yeah. I think Jimmy would be highly insulted by that. I'm not quite so sure.
I love Bucks North, Tennessee. I love it.
Well, who doesn't? Who doesn't? You know, it was actually Robert's van, I think, come to think of it. Robert Fuller. And there right there is a man who could sell you some feel-good fluid. And, hell, you'd still be owing him money to this day.
Mentioning Batista before, Robert Fuller, have you ever seen his? Because that's the picture that people put out there, him wearing that little thong thing. And he looks like he's got a...
Robert is, he's not normal. He's not a natural man. He's whatever he is.
So that is true. So Robert Fuller would give Batista a run for his money then.
I guess.
Barry said Macho Man is his favorite wrestler, and he throws in Ric Flair too. Brendan said Kurt Hennig would be a 30 on the Bret Hart scale, 10, 10, 10 there.
Probably so. Probably because Kurt was entertaining. Kurt was talented too. And he, what was this? You get a 10 for look, 10 for promos.
And then a 10 for work rate or, you know, working in the ring.
Yeah. You got to give Kurt a 30. No doubt. No doubt. There were a lot of guys back then who could, who could go. And that was the time, like, when the Von Erichs were in their 20s, Kurt, Eddie Gilbert, God, Gino, Chris Adams. Man, there's a lot of guys out there that it was a different style and a different way of getting over. But the Von Erichs were running the Sportatorium in Dallas and the Will Rogers Coliseum in Fort Worth. And they're 30 minutes apart, I think, the cities. And one would be on a Friday, the other would be on a Tuesday, I think, were the days. And they would have to have those matches every night. But what helped was it was so hot. The fans were so hot. And wrestling was so hot at that time. They had these rock star looking guys in shape. And understood the psychology of wrestling, telling a story, getting people involved, that it was real easy to follow and get hooked on. Didn't have to do a whole lot. It was just they had that vibe, they had that attitude, and that a lot of those guys were 30s back then, I think, if you're going to go by that criteria. I think even Brett would assess, because Brett was in his early 20s back then too, and going back and forth, mainly staying in Calgary. But there are a lot of guys.
Phil says space is the place for the intergalactic cowboy, Randy Savage, an icon. Yes.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Randy's an icon. Randy was growing up in a wrestling household. It's got to be crazy enough. But growing up around Angelo Poffo and those guys living up to their dad, you know, Lanny and Randy, I think they were both proud of their dad and proud of the business and respected the business enough. And we're going to respect the family business and went to war with the Jarretts and Lawler and all those guys. And in the end, worked together and figured out a way to coexist. I was listening to some commentary. It was Lawler. Oh, yeah. The Lawler promo where he challenges Roddy Piper. And Vince says to Savage, what about the king? He said, he's my king. Savage put Lawler over saying, no, he's my king. Something like that. And I'm catching some of this commentary after all the years and knowing what happened with the war going on between the Poffos and the Jarretts.
Yep.
And to see how it all came down at the very end, not only with Randy doing business with the Memphis office and Lawler, but the mutual respect they both found for each other. Because if you want to talk about a guy who's definitely in the top 10 or 15 at least, you got to talk about Lawler.
Yes.
For longevity, for going out and having consistently good matches and consistently great matches too. Excuse me. Guys like Lawler, Jeff Jarrett, certainly Brad Armstrong. I've said this before. If you couldn't work with Brad Armstrong, you didn't deserve to be in the business. Same could be said for Jeff. Same could be said for Randy. Same could be said for, man, I'm sure there's a few other guys out there, but my own personal opinion, those guys definitely were icons and knew how to tell a story and work and deserve to be in whatever top 10 category we're talking about. Jerry Lawler was the king of Memphis forever. and did records in the Mid-South Coliseum every Monday night for years. And when Savage came on board and they had their angle, I mean, it was etched in realism. And then they both finally realized we'd be better, you know, pissing inside the tent than outside the tent. And I would hope that nobody ever loses the history of the territories and the records. And if for nothing else, just for discussion, because you could always look up some of those guys' matches. And what I'm talking about is guys going to wrestling school, and you say, who should I watch? What should I listen for? What should I look for? Look for the guys who were authentic. Look for the guys who made you believe. And if you never believed, then I don't know if this is the place for you either. Because I think in order to do this the right or the great way is to believe. And at least if you believed it for 5 minutes or believed it one time, that something really happened and this was what was going on, if you really bought into it, then I think you have to understand how that feels before you can try and make somebody else feel the same way, if that makes any sense at all. It does to me, but what I'm trying to say is I remember watching Wahoo McDaniel and Johnny Valentine fighting in the ring and the roof coming off the house. I mean, the noise was deafening. And I remember when The Undertaker made his comeback at WrestleMania 20 against Kane and the entrance, it was deafening. So, you know, if you don't know what that feels like as a fan, how are you going to know what it feels like as a performer to make the same feeling happen? And, don't get me wrong, I haven't had those kind of pops, but I've had the feeling where we've had the crowd and we knew we had the crowd and we knew just instinctively what to do next with the Rock and Roll Express or with the Dirty White Boy or with Jeff Jarrett or Brad Armstrong in their respectable territories. That's great, being a great worker. You got to give it to Jerry Lawler. He could work with anybody and make them look great. So he just had that knack for it. And so did Savage.
Barbara St. Savage, great minor league baseball player. Jimmy Pearsall was one of his coaches. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good athlete, sure. That Macho Man.
Yes, he was. That's another reason. No, he wasn't just a wrestler. He was a great athlete.
Grandma Daisy, we're getting into Hall of Fame question early here. Should Matt Bourne go into the WWE Hall of Fame as Matt Bourne or Doink the Clown?
Have we established what the criteria would be to go in the Hall of Fame? Is there a criteria?
No, I don't think Vince or Triple H has ever got the criteria either. It's whoever they think for that particular day and time.
Well, then here's my point. The Bushwhackers as the sheep herders were vicious. And the sheep herders as the Bushwhackers were fantastic in their role. They knew which one to be at the right time. I think Matt Bourne should go in as the first Doink. Reason being, he took polka dots basically, and worse than polka dots. Yeah, worse than polka dots. Let me just say. And created something and made it his.
If you think about it, that gimmick is horrible and should be terrible, but he turned it into an awesome gimmick.
It's, you know, and I've been hearing things lately because I'm trying to tune into different philosophies and ways of doing things. And I keep hearing over and over from guys like Dutch Mantel or Jeff Jarrett that you need to have something on the card for everybody. Everybody needs to have, it's like a variety. And so do things that you're going to like, but also do things that other people will enjoy or think they'll enjoy. And I think Doink was that guilty pleasure for people. And he would do it in his, whenever I saw Matt Russell as Doink, He always reminded me of somebody evil. When the makeup would come off and crusty old clown and all that stuff, and he's doing his Matt Bourne stuff as Doink, I thought it was pretty natural, and he reminded me of why people would be afraid of clowns. I'm not afraid of clowns, but some people are. And he would be the embodiment of an evil clown, and he enjoyed it.
Brendan Hendricks and Morrison, amazing talent.
Yeah, I think so too. And I was probably too young to really see it. No, I was too young, but at the same time, I remember it, and I've gone back and watched some YouTube stuff and realizing I don't know that anybody would get it today. At the same time, what's old would be new again. I have a guy who told me tonight he wants to be witty but not funny. Well, can't you be both? But I asked him, give me an example of who he's learning how to be witty from. Lawler would read the Henny Youngman books, the Rodney Dangerfield stuff. Lawler had comebacks. Just he had them at the tip of his tongue. He was never lost for words, always ready for a comeback. And that's what I explained you had to have. But you had to have somebody to base it on, or, you know, Lawler stole from Don Rickles and all the comedians, Rodney Dangerfield, that he saw. He was entertaining, but he also knew how to work and tell a story. So, Steele, and to me again, I think David Lee Roth is one of the greatest frontmen ever. In the 70s and 80s. I'm not saying he's a great singer. I'm saying he was a great MC. He was a great front man. He was the guy that understood, you know, this is showbiz. You guys might be playing your instruments, and that's cool, and I'll do what I have to do. But he had some comebacks. He had sound bites that I think if you make them yours, switch it up, adjust it or whatever, but have his mannerism, have that comeback style, have that boom ready to go. Anyway, but those kind of talents, it's a different world, different place today, different culture, no doubt. But if you're doing that, like a David Lee Roth or like a Steven Tyler back in the younger days, you would stand out. You would be different. I don't know who else is out there doing that these days. I really don't.
No idea. Barbara says, please ask Fact Time if he ever worked an angle with Kerry Von Erich, or were they both baby faces? Thanks.
No, I never did, but when Kerry came in, Kerry did a few shots in Alabama, in and out, and I think he worked with, I don't remember, in Alabama. But I never worked an angle with, or an angel, never worked an angel with Kerry.
Dave Cole, hi John and Tom. Happy Thanksgiving to you both. Hope you both enjoy the day. Thank you, David. Happy Thanksgiving.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to have a great day tomorrow. No matter what I do, no matter where I go, I'm going to have a good time.
Nice. I like that. Nice.
Yeah, me too.
Phil says Savage could throw lefty or righty. A great baseball player. That's right. He taught himself how to throw lefty because he broke his arm, his right arm. So he taught himself how to throw lefty.
Yeah. Randy was an intense guy. He was a very intense guy. I could see it. That's drive. That's wanting to succeed.
Barber's the second baseman for Savage, but I think he was a catcher, was he not?
I thought he was a catcher.
Yeah, I think he was a catcher. Yeah.
Cincinnati Reds, right? Was it the Reds? Yeah.
It was their farm system. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Craig says, you should ask Pat Patterson how big wrestlers Johnsons were as he checks before hiring them. Is that true? Is that something
Craig,
that
how on the living fuck would you know that? See, now you're just being stupid, Craig. But no,
Ryan said, I heard Batista was in a gay relationship with John Cena. I have never heard that ever. I don't want to go too far into it, but he was sleeping around with some of the divas. That's what I heard. And I know Cena obviously was engaged to Nikki Bella at one point, who obviously, gorgeous girl that she
well,
was.
So here
I don't know about that with Cena.
Here again, guys, you know, you're asking questions, and I know what you're doing. I get it. But, you know, just
Barry says sounds about right. Wow. Oh, maybe. Okay. All right. Interesting. I never heard that, though. I got to be honest with Batista or Cena. I just don't see it. Jason, were you in Memphis when Sting and Warrior were the Freedom Fighters? And if so, did you work with them?
Sure did. I was there when Jerry Jarrett told them they need to give up the business because they'll never make a dime. Sure was.
Really?
Yes. I believe Pat Rose and I worked with them.
Wow. I didn't realize that. Damn. How were they, though? Were they completely green and just terrible?
Yeah, they didn't know anything, and I don't think at that time they were wanting to learn anything. But that's when they got sent to Louisiana and Dallas. I think they went to Louisiana first together, or am I wrong? After Jarrett, they got booked in Louisiana. I know Sting
yes.
did.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Warrior decided to go to
Dallas.
Texas. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And Sting stayed. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just remember, and that's what they did back then. They send you somewhere and get some reps in, and then when you're ready, they'll bring you back. But Jerry had enough and said, guys, good luck.
Interesting that, they became two of the all-time greats, if you really look at it. And
well, it really is. Yeah, that's
horrible beginnings.
Right. It just goes to show you it's not necessarily knowing all the wrestling holds. It's going in there and learning how to get over. And there's a big difference being a great worker and then being over. Huge difference. You know, there've been great workers who got over, and there's been great workers who didn't get over. But then you had guys who couldn't spell Sam, be millionaires, become millionaires, and that's Austin Idol, and I kid about this sometimes. I tell him, it's like, dude, you shouldn't wrestle. You didn't wrestle. He goes, no. So I explain that to my guys all the time. You need to know the basics and fundamentals. You have to have that. That's a foundation. But once you get that down, and I don't mean in 6 months or 6 years, you'll know. Once you get that down, then you realize it's not about doing a great hammerlock. It's about the in-between stuff you do. It's about getting people to connect to you. If you watch Dusty Rhodes and Superstar Billy Graham from the Garden, they had three matches, I believe. Do you remember those?
Yes.
Three matches in the Garden. I think it was a bull rope, Texas Death, and the first one was just a regular match. Something like that. And you watch it and watch what they do. It's the Gaga in between that made them the superstars. They knew how to do some stuff, and they did some stuff, and they did what they had to do because less is more. You don't need to do a whole bunch of stuff when you have this presence. And
right,
they did. Yeah. So
Bo wants to know, did you see the JPWA on CNN?
Did you know? No. Yeah, actually, I did see the JPWA on CNN. It was yesterday morning, I believe, at 7:30 on CNN. Dan Richards is a progressive liberal.
Yes.
And he wrestles in Virginia, or West Virginia. CNN came down and did a story on them. And Bo and Dan wanted to use JPWA to film it, and they did. But it was a great story. They had like 5 minutes on CNN. Both in the morning and in prime time. So Now I understand they're getting inquiries and emails from all over the world. People want to come in this progressive liberal Joe Biden, pro Biden wrestler. So it's kind of crazy right now in the world, but in world of professional wrestling, I think the next 2 years are going to be very interesting, and some places are going to get a little bit hot.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because
I know Dan for a while. We actually was at a comedy show not that long ago, and he was there. We were bullshitting because I did a convention years ago. He came to the convention. He was at one of my tables. So I know him for a while. It was just funny. He's like, "Well, what the hell are you doing here at this show?" And he's like, "I love these guys." So we were bullshitting for a while. So it's just funny. He's like, "Wow, you're still doing that damn liberal, progressive liberal gimmick. It's getting over. It's like huge." Yeah.
Caught CNN's ear again. Yeah. So they came down and filmed it, and it was awesome, man. Yeah, they spent most of the day there, and it's amazing how it takes off, because with that one newscast, they got Southern States Wrestling got noticed again, which is awesome, because they're starting some filming back up and using some JPWA guys and other guys around East Tennessee. So it's great for everybody. Yeah, it's great to see people getting publicity. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of JPWA, Steve wants to know, will you help him wrap Christmas gifts if he brings them to JPWA?
Hey, man, I'll tell you what. You bring all the Christmas presents you want, and we'll sit there and wrap them individually, and I won't leave until it's all done. And, John,
wow.
I think you'll vouch for me.
Yeah.
I will do the monotonous task, as monotonous as it may be, until it's finished. I won't leave until it's done. True or false?
True. And you'll make sure it's perfect. Yeah, I agree. Right.
Okay.
Jonathan says, you guys have a great night and happy Thanksgiving from Nashville, Tennessee. Happy Thanksgiving.
Awesome, man. I hope Nashville's, well, Knoxville's not really that cold, but you're, man, I'm looking forward to at least 4 days off.
Nice. Yes, me too. Robert says, what is it like working with Tommy Rich? Wildfire.
Hey, have you ever worked for Tommy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Tommy was a lot of fun back in the day. He might still be fun, just not as fun. He ain't more funner than he was back then. That's fire up and all that stuff. Tommy's great.
He's fired up.
Yeah, Tommy was great. I've known Tommy for a while.
Barbara says, I guess Andre the Giant would have to be the biggest, the largest, if you know what I mean. Largest member.
Don't, you know. That hand thing is a myth.
Oh, the, size, you know, size the, your hand. Yeah.
No, it's, I don't believe that's true. So don't always think the biggest is always the biggest. I mean, just because you're tall, that's right. All. Okay.
Miss Tony says, who is your favorite opponent? I've been a fan of yours since the Mid-South days.
Well, thank you, Miss Tony. But Brad Armstrong was my favorite opponent of all time. I enjoyed working with Jeff Jarrett. I enjoyed working with Dirty White Boy at the time. But of all the guys who, as a baby facer, and no matter what it was, Brad was my favorite. For whatever reason, man, we knew there were times we would I would shoot him off, wouldn't call anything, and we'd just follow through with whatever happened, whether it was a tackle or a drop down, or we knew it was going to either be a tackle or a hip toss, a drop down, a body slam, whatever it may be. We knew something was coming, and all you had to do was with body language. You didn't always have to talk and communicate, and that was so cool to be able to get to that point where you're now. It's second nature, and you're feeling it. And Brad, I don't believe I ever missed a beat with him. He was where he needed to be at all times, and he had this uncanny knack of putting you where you needed to be at all times too. It was just so. It was awesome.
Big Fish, why was Kurt Hennig not the world champion? He was the best wrestler.
Well, he was the world champion. He was AWA. The AWA world champion, which counts. I mean, technically, yes. But I think I really don't have an answer for that, I guess. He was world champ. But, I mean, as far as the WWE champ,
Who are you going to give it to? Who are you going to take it away from to give it to Kurt, though? That at a time frame.
Well, that's that,
off of Hogan. I don't think so.
Yeah. And there was so much more involved than just saying, hey, we're going to put the belt on this guy. So,
yep.
I have no answer for that.
What's your thoughts on Chris Jericho supposedly wanting sports entertainment, aka pro wrestling, in the Olympics? Is that true? I thought he was joking. But is that? What do you think? Pro wrestling in the Olympics? That'd be a little strange.
How do you do that?
Yeah, how do you do an Olympic sport of pro wrestling?
Yeah, I thought, I don't know what countries are you going to get? How are we going to do this? Because you're going to need an international booker or two, and nobody's going to want to do the job because it's the Olympics, but it's a work. Yeah, but it's the Olympics. Well, wait a minute. How are we going to judge this then? Well, you guys figure that out. I don't know. I thought he was joking too.
Brooks says Jerry Lawler's the king of Memphis and nobody will ever change it. I totally agree.
I agree with that too. Lawler cemented his legacy a long time ago.
Mitch Miller, happy Thanksgiving, Dr. Tom, and memories about the gobbledygooker gimmick.
I wasn't there at the time, but I do remember when it came out, and I remember thinking, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And I heard Hector was the one doing it. I went, oh no. Because I know he was hating it too. I'm sure he was. I didn't talk to him about it, but I'm assuming, and I would go out on a limb and say, yeah.
Sounds like a Bruce idea, to be honest.
You keep trying to indict him. You keep trying to go there. You know, you want me to lay the hammer down. Yes. I know what you're going for.
Yes.
I'm not going to bite on this one, man.
Damn it.
You got the wrong bait on the hook. Yeah, you
damn
got
it.
The wrong bait.
Damn it. One of these days, you're going to be like,
one of these days.
God damn it, Bruce. It was a horrible idea, a horrible gimmick.
No, I don't think it was. I think it was somebody else's idea.
Mike, a.k.a. Don Fry, what are your memories of the Rock and Roll Express?
They were awesome. I mean, how could they not be awesome? And it was a night off every night. They were another team where you didn't have to say anything, especially when I was with Stan. In the beginning, Ricky Morton is one of the, in my opinion, one of the top two baby faces. And it is a toss up between Steamboat and Ricky Morton, in my opinion. You didn't have to call a whole lot of stuff. Pretty much as everything was on field, that I knew if they shot me off, it was going to be one of about four or five things. And I was prepared to take each one, no matter what it was. That's the second nature. That's when you didn't have to, you just read the body language and read what's going on. They're great. Awesome.
Phil is saying David Lee Roth was a great radio host in Boston in the early 2000s when Howard Stern had left terrestrial radio. DLR, great talker.
Well, yeah, but that he got fired after 4 months because that's not what they wanted. And I've heard him talk about that too on the Joe Rogan podcast and things like that. And Dave is an acquired taste, but I like the vaudeville stuff. I like the carniness, if that's a word, of it all. I like the fact that he understands it's showbiz and people want to hear the sound bites and they want to hear the remark where people go, "What did he just say?" And to me, that it's not everybody's taste. But if you listen to Jimmy Valiant, if you listen to Superstar Billy Graham, even Dusty Rhodes or the Four Horsemen, Flair, whoever had a great, flamboyant, colorful promo, Dave is copying wrestlers and vice versa. Dave was a big wrestling fan too. And some of the stuff he says doesn't go out of style. And Freddie Mercury was a great front man, no doubt. But he was a different type of front man than Dave. Dave was that guy who, you know, cocky, skinny, lion mane bastard who knew he was going to take your girlfriend that night and there's nothing you could do about it. And he'd tell you right to your face, "I'm taking your girlfriend. She's coming with me." Who knows?
Gotta respect DLR. He was great.
Well, he was a great heel, but that's where a great heel comes from, or a great babyface, depending on how you look at it. Rock was that way. Austin was that way. Austin was a kick-ass son of a gun. son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And originality is highly overrated. Don't hold back. Just make sure when you steal your stuff, make it yours. And man, it's all a part of it. Take it.
The King of Kingsport, Bo James. Kerry worked with Dennis Condrey and Lawler in Continental. Also was in Six Men with the Riches, Mike Davis, Chono, and Alan Martin.
That's what it was. So
look at Bo. He knows everything, this guy. Man.
Well,
it's like a walking encyclopedia of wrestling.
I don't know if he's walking right now.
Right. I love that a very young Chono was in that area.
Mr. Chono and I, we went to see Bon Jovi together.
Wow, did he like Bon Jovi?
Chono, yes, of course he did. Who wouldn't like Bon Jovi? It's like Nickelback. Chono and his girl who flew over from Japan, he lived in the same apartments as I lived in. And we went and saw Bon Jovi. And it was a great concert, great show. I saw him a couple of years ago at the arena in Philadelphia. I did a signing, and he looked great. He does fashion now. He does clothes in Japan. Did you know all this?
I didn't know that, but I met him that day in Philly.
Okay, so yeah.
I love Chono. He always looks like $1 million, so that makes kind of makes sense with the fashion. Yeah.
Yeah, he was great. I had fun with him. When he first came over, that was his first full-time territory. And I introduced him to a few American customs, and Doug Gilbert and I were in the back seat of a car that Chono was driving with the dirty white boy in the front seat next to Chono. And you know, Doug was wearing his hat, and so we're playing around, and I took Doug's hat off his head and threw it out the window. Well, I'm just ribbing, but I didn't realize that Doug collected hats. Those ones collected, you know, the hats where you go somewhere and you collect them and stuff. And so I told Chono, so we got to stop. He knew what I was saying, but he kept going. I kept patting him on the shoulder. Said, "Chono, we got to stop. Get the hat." He goes, "Oh, hat, okay," and he kept going. So he caught on pretty quick.
Oh, I love some Chono stuff there. Yeah. Big Fish is the strongest wrestler of all time. Was UConn Eric? Interesting.
Well, I wasn't around. Well, thank you, Ryan. I wasn't around when UConn Eric was around, but he's a great story, too. I mean, I don't know if it's a great story, but it's an interesting story. I read something that Jeff Walton wrote about UConn Eric during the time right before he lost his ear. He said, or after he lost his ear, he was in California. And Jeff asked him, he says, "What was the real story? What really happened that night?" And he said that Eric was laying there, and Kowalski came off with the knee, and part of his ear came off, and Walter panicked. And he said, "I just laughed and told him, said, 'Don't worry, kid, we'll make a lot of money with this.'" And so that was interesting. You know, again, those guys did stuff like that and didn't, you know, I'm sure they got upset about it. Sure wasn't the ideal thing, but we'll make money off it, kid. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. No,
yeah.
Penty, who had the best pile driver? Mine was Paul Orndorff, then Jerry Lawler. Best pile driver.
Ah, well, they both of those guys did throw a hell of a pile driver. They did. Man, I can't even think of anybody else.
A weird one that I used to love, and I saw somebody putting up clips recently. You'd be shocked by this one. Sid. He did the one where he grabbed the guy by the tights and do it the real quick one where sit down real quick. Yeah. And I always love Funks too. Funks pile driver.
Terry, yeah. But Lawler did one, and Orndorff did a hell of a
job. Orndorff might be the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Spinning pile driver. So, yeah.
Mitch wants to know, how was your luck with the ring rats? Interesting. I love those kind of questions.
Well, how do you think my luck was? Would you take a look at me back then if you have any pictures and ask yourself, what woman could resist this?
Right. Damn right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Colin wants to know, why was Jesse Ventura never world champion? There we go.
Because I don't think they could control Jesse. They, again, we're talking about they and them. I don't think the promoters, I don't think anybody was willing to trust Jesse, or I don't know. I that's just my assumption.
Bo says, happy Thanksgiving. I'm grateful for Dr. Tom, and I hope he knows that.
Well, I would suspect that. Knowing it is a totally different thing. That removes all and any doubt. And it's not that I have all and any doubt. I just would have question as to maybe, you know, it's one of those things. I don't want to be a member of any club that will have me as a member.
True.
Suspicious, yeah. Very suspicious there.
Tony said, thank you for answering the question. Attended some of the Mid-South matches with my parents. Man, they had some crazy fans at some of the cards. Have you ever encountered any crazy fans?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. Which the only time, well, not the only time, but I was in a singles with, wait a minute. You're talking about crazy fans?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, shit. Yeah, almost every night. But yes, there have been. I was going to say this, the one crazy, there was a time in Birmingham at Boutwell Auditorium. I was wrestling Brad and I rolled outside. And a guy in the front row hit me on the side of my head with his cane. And it hurt, but it didn't do anything because he was an older guy and he had a cane. But the cops came and took him, and there was no harm done. He hit me, but it was nothing, and I didn't want to press charges. We wrestled on a Monday in Birmingham, and the next Monday, Ronnie West called me about 3 in the afternoon and asked me if I could come down early to the courthouse, which is right across the street or nearby anyway, the Boutwell Auditorium, and press charges. He might have asked me to press charges, but I made it clear I don't want to press charges. He said, they just want you to come in and scare him because he's being an asshole to the cops. So he just, knowing that I wouldn't show up is what they said. So I showed up in court, didn't press charges, but I was right there and he saw I was sitting with the cops. And then he pleaded guilty. They fined him, whatever they fined him. Yeah, and that was that. But as far as crazy, like insane fans, Jesus Christ, where do I start?
Bo is saying first card he promoted in 1988 for Don West. Dr. Tom wrestled Chono. Wow.
Well, the first time I wrestled Chono, I don't know if it was on this card, but I'll tell you, the first time I did, I hadn't met him yet. We were in separate locker rooms. So the first time I'd actually see him was in the ring. And he didn't speak English. Didn't know very good English. I know that. We got to the ring. Didn't say a word, locked up. He immediately put himself in a headlock.
Oh.
Shot me off, took a tackle. I hit the ropes. He didn't say anything. I'm just, again, this is one of those things where you just go and you read what the guy's going to do. If you got a chance of making it or not, it's up to you. And I think it was a tackle drop down. Give me a hip toss. And I knew after the hip toss, if I came up, I would know to either sell back or watch him feed for an arm drag. And I think he fed for an arm drag the first time we ever locked up. So nice. He was another one that kind of got it. And you didn't have to call it. You just felt it.
Yeah.
And oh, shit. The first time anybody really did that, where he put himself in a headlock. And but he was a hell of a worker, too. That's why he got the belt over in Japan. He deserved it.
And here too, NWA champion over here too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Barbara said, please don't forget to ask Dr. Tom about the book, A Perfect Christmas Gift. Where can everybody get the book?
You can go to jpwrestlingacademy.com and click the training icon at the top. It'll take you to Amazon. Again, jpwrestlingacademy.com.
A lot of awesome questions still coming in, so keep those in mind for next week. Just one final question before we go, though. biggest line of blow you ever saw someone do in the business? LOL from the Dust Devils. Are you allowed to say?
The devil's dandruff is no way to be, son. The devil's dandruff is a terrible thing.
Jason says, thank you, Dr. Tom. Thank you, Mr. John.
Happy Thanksgiving. Well, I hope everybody else has a happy Thanksgiving. It's going to be a wonderful Thanksgiving in Knoxville and Nashville and Kingsport and all those places, too, because it is what you make it. So I'm going to make it a happy one.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. You can follow Dr. Tom on Twitter at Dr. Tom Pritchard. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com. Get the JPWA stuff and the Dr. Tom stuff. Anything else you got going on?
John, it's going to be a busy couple weeks, but that's about it.
All right, nice.
Pissing off fans. What was that? No, let me see that last one. Oh. Pissing off fans like that means you're a good heel.
Well done, Doc.
Let me tell you. Yes. Okay. I thought so, too.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, and happy Turkey Day. Thank you, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you right back here next week for We'll Take You to School with Dr. Tom Pritchard. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.